It's time to experience the Synergy Connection Show with your host, Lucy Forstin.
Welcome to the Synergy Connection Show. I have as my returning guest, Bob Gilpatrick, who is one of the co-owners of Boomers Forever Young in St. Petersburg, Florida. The company was started in 2010 and helps people get on the right track with their health and wellness goals. Bob has been a holistic nutritionist for over 20 years. He doesn't look like he's been in it for that long, and is a sought-after speaker for local events as well as various podcasts. We've been together for three prior shows discussing such topics as holistic nutrition, diabetes, and more recently, The Molecules of Love and Desire, which was a totally fun show to do. So on today's show, we're going to address high blood pressure, which afflicts about 33% of the population. So welcome back. I'm thrilled to have you on the show.
Thank you. Thanks, Lucy. It's great to be back. How are you?
I'm good.
Great.
So with high blood pressure being something that affects that much of the population, what is it? I mean, how would you describe what high blood pressure even is?
Well, blood pressure is the measure of pressure that your blood is putting against your arteries. First when your heart is actually pumping blood, so that's the higher number. And then the lower number is the measure of the pressure of the blood when your heart's at rest. So it's going to be obviously lower because the blood is just kind of sitting there. But when your heart beats and forces blood through your arteries, that's that higher number. And so they're measuring the pressure. And normally the normal blood pressure is 120 on the pulse and 80 at rest. And so high blood pressure is when it goes above 120 over 80, especially if it gets up to 130, 140, and the lower number gets up to 90 or 95. Now you really have an issue that you have to address. And if your blood pressure is checked and it's 180 or higher, that's an emergency that you have to go to the emergency room for.
So from what I understand, most people don't even know if they've got high blood pressure until it really gets high. And then what are the symptoms if it's that high? Why would somebody go, oh my goodness, there's something wrong?
Yeah, well, most people don't know because it comes on gradually and they're not constantly testing their blood pressure themselves, mm-hmm. and they don't go to the doctor that often to get it tested. But if your blood pressure all of a sudden goes up really high, most likely you're going to get a really bad headache and you're going to be flush and you're going to get dizzy and pass out if it goes high enough. And so if you start to feel flush and getting a really bad headache and your heart is pounding, mm-hmm. then you're in a state of emergency.
Okay. And that might happen, you know, just out of the blue, sort of. I mean, it wouldn't be. I can see that if somebody was going up a flight of steps, or if they were gardening and it was really hot like we have here in Florida, or maybe you're playing tennis or, you know, something that's an exertion for you normally, your blood pressure might go up. I mean, for walkers, you want your blood pressure to reach a higher peak for health reasons and then slow back down again. But for somebody who has the headache, the flushed face, the dizziness, and they weren't doing any of those things, mm-hmm. that would be like, okay, right. You need to go maybe into the emergency room.
Right, yeah. And that can be from a number of different things. Infections can mm-hmm. cause your blood pressure to go way up. Too much of vices, like drinking too much alcohol, smoking too much, that kind of thing. And then also, probably most importantly, it could be a sign of a problem with your kidneys. So your kidneys could be shutting down or struggling for some reason, and now your blood pressure is going to go up. So it's good to go and get it checked out. But usually it's because of a combination of things. Mm-hmm. People are having trouble with their kidneys. Their iron is too high. Plus they drink too much alcohol and smoke, and those things all combine together to create really high blood pressure.
So again, you know, my own little research that I was doing spelled out some things that I think most people might not be aware of, because we know high blood pressure is associated with heart attacks and strokes. A comment you just made about kidneys, I didn't realize that if your kidneys are compromised, that your blood pressure, you know, can be up too. And right. So there's that. And then eye damage. Mm-hmm. I didn't have a clue that high blood pressure is often the root of the problem behind vision.
Yeah, yeah. So. Not only that, but the issue with the kidneys is either one can cause the other. So if you have high blood pressure for a different reason, it can cause problems for your kidneys, and vice versa. If you have problems with your kidneys, you can get high blood pressure.
Oh.
The other thing is that that you have to really watch out for is having iron levels that are too high.
And then how do people know if they've got that, unless they specifically go in and say, right, I want this tested?
Yeah, you're not going to know that necessarily, because that could be causing your blood pressure to be high, mm-hmm, and it also could be causing fatigue. Okay, so people normally think of low iron as causing fatigue, because there's not enough, you know, iron is in the middle of your hemoglobin molecule, which is carrying your red blood cells. So without enough iron, you won't be able to attract the oxygen to the red blood cells, and that can make you very tired. But also, if you have too high of iron, it can also make you tired, because inside of your mitochondria in your cells, where you make your energy, mm-hmm, right, as a byproduct of making energy, you put off hydrogen peroxide. And iron has an affinity for it and will bind to it. And in the process, it throws off an ROS, or a reactive oxygen species, meaning something that is an oxidator. And it actually damages the outside wall of your mitochondria significantly, to the point where it's very hard to make energy anymore. So high iron causes damage to the mitochondria, and the low iron makes it so you can't transport enough oxygen, which is needed in the mitochondria to make energy. And that's why it's really important when people go to their doctor and they get blood work to insist that they check your iron, because it's not on the list. It was taken off of the list on a complete blood count about 5 years ago, and Medicare took it off. And then most of the other insurance companies did also. But it's really important to know. A lot of people have high iron and they don't know it. And so high blood pressure can actually, so here's the thing, high iron can cause high blood pressure. And then high blood pressure can create leaks in your brain, where the iron will leak out into your brain.
What happens when that happens?
That is one of the causes of dementia. So
really?
Over time, if you don't know that you have high iron or high blood pressure, you can get dementia from that.
Oh, for goodness sakes.
Right. And so that's why it's good to check early on when you're young, mm-hmm, and as you age, to know your iron level along with your blood pressure. It can help you prevent dementia.
You know, what I find so interesting is when you are a young woman and still having, you know, your cycles and everything, or after you're pregnant, low iron anemia is very common, but we never ever hear about high iron problems.
Right.
So is that the reason Medicare took it off? Is just they decided that there weren't that many people affected, or did they just not understand it?
To save money.
Save money, strictly.
Yeah, okay. Save money. So yeah, the high iron is actually more common than low iron, and it's a bigger problem.
Mm-hmm.
Low iron you can fix pretty easily.
Right.
By taking some extra iron and vitamin C.
Right.
High iron is much more difficult, and you have to go and donate blood. You have to watch what you eat, that type of thing. But those are major things to know about in regard to blood pressure. But also, other things that you have to look at is how is your circulation in general? So if you have poor circulation, then your heart needs to beat harder to create the circulation to that first 25% of your circulatory system. And when it has to beat harder, it's going to create that high blood pressure. So you want the veracity of your arterial system to be high so that your heart only has to beat at a moderate beat in order to force the blood through. And a lot of people, as they age, have arteries that begin to become brittle. And a lot of it has to do with diet. And the arteries themselves have to be very elastic so that when the blood pumps, the artery can expand. But if you have brittle cells that are making up your arteries because the wall of the cell is brittle, because you don't have the right combination of nutrients, then your arteries will be brittle and be very hard to force open. Thus, you need more pressure. So choline in particular, and in the form of phosphatidylcholine, in combination with cholesterol, is what makes up the wall of your cells. And so without enough phosphatidylcholine, you'll end up with brittle cells in this, thus brittle arteries. And so when people look for their nutritional supplements, you always want to find one, if it's a comprehensive supplement, that has phosphatidylcholine. And if you're not taking a comprehensive supplement, make sure that you buy a bottle of phosphatidylcholine if you are somebody who's susceptible to high blood pressure.
So if a person was diagnosed with not full-blown high blood pressure, but like the precursor to it, so to speak, then changing maybe their habits, changing their diet might prevent inevitable high mm-hmm. blood pressure.
Yeah, absolutely. Especially getting away from too much sugar. Mm-hmm. So when people eat too much sugar, they create a lot more of this ROS, reactive oxygen species. Mm-hmm. And you have sugar in your bloodstream that won't go down into your cells because of insulin resistance, or just you consume so much sugar, there's no room for it.
Right.
And then that sugar bumps against the protein in your blood, and it's called glycation, and it throws off an ROS. They're like little hot coals. And those little coals are damaging your circulatory system. They're damaging your coronary arteries. They're damaging your cholesterol and making it oxidized so it's sticky. And now you'll get narrowing of the arteries and hardening of the arteries, which now makes your heart have to pump a lot faster, mm-hmm. right? And that creates high blood pressure. So too much high glycemic index carbs like sugar mm-hmm. is one of the main causes of high blood pressure. So changing your diet to eating less things that cause oxidative stress like sugar, and eating more good fats, which will burn as fuel in the form of ketones and not create this glycation that's occurring in the bloodstream. This is a good way to change your diet, especially mm-hmm. if you have high blood pressure.
Yeah, I'm thinking, complex carbohydrates versus simple ones.
Yep.
Back when we were kids, or at least in my family, a peanut butter and jelly sandwich was very common for lunch, or a grilled cheese sandwich or something. And they're still kind of like comfort foods, but putting them on at least a multigrain bread is better for kids if they're going to do that than having them on white bread. So getting into a more complex carbohydrate.
Yeah. Yeah, they're better off not eating bread at all.
At all.
Yeah. What's really good to do instead of eating bread is to make food with lettuce wraps,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So you'd be surprised how kids will like food that's made from lettuce wraps. Mm-hmm. It's crunchy, tastes good, and just try it.
Yeah, no, I've had it before, yeah. And it is. It's very yummy, actually.
Yeah.
I think educating people on how to prepare food is probably going to be key in order to get healthy, too. So, I mean, a lot of times in the show, I talk about the combination of things that keep us healthy, because there are you know, shows that I've done on mindfulness, on meditation, on understanding our chakras, and that's all important. But what we fuel our bodies with is so incredibly important, because if you're not eating properly or taking good nutrition into your body, then you can have the other things working for you, but your health is still going to be severely compromised. So it's kind of working together, a teamwork of sorts.
Yeah, absolutely. Depending on what you eat is going to determine whether or not you can actually create the building blocks of human life, which are primarily proteins. Right. So we make about 100,000 different kinds of protein from our genetic code. But in order to make those proteins, you have to have the building blocks in the form of amino acids and metabolic enzymes. And then once you form the proteins, they're involved in metabolic pathways that require many other nutrients in order to have those pathways function properly. Mm-hmm. And so if you overload your body with food that has too much sugar, has pesticides and other toxins, you're going to end up having a very toxic load in your body, particularly overcooked meat is going to create the most toxicity.
So people, I mean, you've heard them and I've heard them when you've been at a steakhouse saying, I want it well done. So you kind of cringe when you hear that.
Yeah, well, any meat that is cooked over 300 degrees on dry heat is going to render the meal into a toxin. So it's you have to learn to cook with slow cookers on 200 degrees, or if you're going to cook 300 degrees or above, you have to use water. So if people are going to make baked chicken, for example, put it in a dish in the oven and put chicken broth in with it, or even just water. So you have a steaming effect, which blocks the glycation. So in this case, it's the sugar in the meat is glycating the fat. Whereas in your bloodstream, it's sugar glycating the protein. When you cook meat, the sugar and fat come together and form a toxin. And even
so
the center
steaks on the grill would be a real
steaks
no-no.
On the grill it's not actually food. If you look at a steak that's been cooked on the grill under a microscope, it's not positively identifiable as food. It's a glycotoxin. And those toxins, even the Center for Disease Control will tell you that eating overcooked meat is the leading cause of cancer in the United States.
Really? Yep. So all these people that are backyard barbecue addicts are probably hurting themselves every weekend.
Yeah, and contributing to high blood pressure. Those glycotoxins that are in your body put a tremendous burden on your liver and your kidneys.
Interesting, because how many, I mean, it's so normal to have hamburgers on the grill, you know, for a party, or hot dogs on the grill. So all of that is really not a good idea.
Exactly.
What about if you did, fish, salmon, let's say in aluminum foil on the grill, because I've seen that too, or veggies, you know, wrapped in aluminum. Are you doing the same kind of damage there?
Not so much with the veggies, but with fish you are to a degree. So it's always best to do it to steam it. So, for example, you know how people will cook corn and they'll soak it in water first and then wrap it and cook it, and so it kind of steams it, the corn comes out more tender and not blackened, right? You want to try to do the same thing with fish. You want to marinate your fish in a liquid, so there's plenty of liquid, and then wrap that fish into the foil with the liquid still in there, and then cook it. In this way, it'll be getting steamed, and the presence of the water blocks the glycation. It changes the chemical reaction when you have water in the form of steam present.
You know, one of the recipes that I've seen fairly recently involved salmon, and they take a sprig of dill and lemon. So you would have lemon juice and a little bit of vegetable juice, and that's what they did, is they put all of that around it. So that would be okay then.
That's good, as long as it doesn't all evaporate before the food's cooked. Because if it all evaporates, that's why you want to have a good amount of liquid. And if it evaporates before the food is cooked, then it's going to glycate.
Right.
Oh. Yeah.
Too bad there's not a little button or something that you can put on it to say, take me off the grill.
Yeah.
So they
yeah.
know.
Yeah.
How would the average person know that if they were at risk for developing high blood pressure?
Well, certainly if you are overweight or obese, mm-hmm. you're going to be at risk. Also, if you're a smoker, if you drink more than a couple drinks of alcohol per day, if you're sedentary all the time, you don't exercise, and also if you have poor sleep problems, including sleep apnea, if you have problems with your adrenals, problems with your thyroid, and you're under a lot of stress, those are the main things that would let you know to pay attention. And so the question then becomes, what do you do about those
things?
What
do you do? Right. Because a lot of people are going to have checked off boxes already.
Yeah, yeah. And so, for example, with sleep, obviously, some people can easily learn to sleep better, and it doesn't take a lot.
What would they have to do to make that happen?
Well, first thing you have to do is pay attention to light. So human beings were designed genetically to be asleep when it's dark and allow the light to wake them up and the lack of light to put them asleep. But we have a lot of artificial light. Mm-hmm. So particularly blue light in the evening and nighttime keeps people awake. Your brain and body think that it's still daytime when you're in front of a TV or a computer. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody's going to go to bed, say, at 10 o'clock at night, you want to start winding down the blue light at 9. Ideally, have no blue light after 9 o'clock.
So no computer screens, no television.
Right, right. And
so
if you're going
to music, yeah, read a book.
Exactly. And if you're going to work on the computer, you need to activate a setting to eliminate the blue light, or you actually have to get a blocker that goes over the screen that filters out the blue light. Okay. And so then you also have to look at the light in the room where you're sleeping. So you want to make sure that you have blackout curtains, so light from street lights is not coming in, and also that you don't have any devices in your room that are giving off light. So little LED lights on your alarm clock or something that's plugged into the wall will make your body think that it's still daytime. And so you have to be able to either turn them off or cover them up with a black cloth so that they don't fool you into thinking it's still daylight. That's one thing. And then you want to wind down the light, and then you want to keep it dark all night long until it's time to wake up. Now, there are also devices that if you want to wake up, say at 7 o'clock in the morning, there's a device that will turn on a tiny faint light at about 6:30 and slowly increase its glow and slowly wake you up.
Right. Okay? My son has one of those because he has a little bit of an issue with seasonal affective disorder. And so when the clocks fall back in the fall, it's really tough, you know, for him. You know, and then spring forward is even worse because it's still staying dark when he needs to get up. And I think that happens maybe to more people than we think.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. And then the other thing is that's important to do is when it is time to get up, get in the light. So tell your body, mind that it's daytime. Open the curtains, let the light come into your house. Mm-hmm. If possible, go outside into the light, okay? Mm-hmm. But then, in addition, during the daytime, get outside into the light. Mm-hmm. Because if you go out at noontime and take a walk for 5 or 10 minutes, your body knows it's full daylight, and you're acclimating these rhythms by pronouncing that it's daytime. Mm-hmm. And then it's much easier to fall asleep when the sun goes down if you've been in the sun during the day. It'll help with your vitamin D a little bit also.
Right. Go ahead. I always feel sorry for the people that work the night shift. You know, they're maybe getting to work at, I don't know, 7 or 11, depending on, you know, what their shift is, and then coming out in the morning, but then they're having to sleep sometime during the daylight.
Yeah. Absolutely. So that's like a simple thing you can do regarding sleep. The other issue is that quite often people will wake up in the middle of the night and they can't get back to sleep because their mind starts racing. Mm-hmm. So there's a few different techniques you can use. There's one called the Ultimate Mind Calming Exercise, which you can see on our website. There's a technique called tapping, or the Emotional Freedom Technique, which can calm you down. And then also just simply relaxing your tongue is very effective, because your tongue is part of your speech. Mm-hmm. And your speech center, Broca's area, is activated when your tongue is moving. So if you purposefully relax your tongue, it'll quiet Broca's area, which then will help your brain waves to shift. So your beta waves are your wave of wakefulness. And if you wake up in the middle of the night and start thinking, it activates Broca's area, which activates your beta waves. So if you relax your tongue, Broca's area will quiet and the beta waves will narrow, and the delta, which is your wave of sleep, will splay and you can fall back asleep.
Has that ever happened with you where you've been able to practice that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's hard to stay awake when your tongue is relaxed. It's like trying to keep your eyes open when you sneeze. Mm-hmm. It's very hard to do, if not impossible. It's almost impossible to stay awake when you're purposefully relaxing your tongue.
That's so interesting. Yeah. So interesting. So, all right. So you talked about the fact that people that smoke are going to be at risk for high blood pressure. And we have a lot of different programs out there today, you know, to help people get over smoking. Exercise, maybe talk about that a little bit, because I don't think they have to join a gym, but there's certain things that they do have to do on a regular basis in order to sort of balance that cardiovascular activity.
Right. Well, the most important thing to do is to move around during the day. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't mean you have to run or lift weights or anything like that. But most people are sitting all day long nowadays. And sitting all day long, they say, is just as bad as smoking. Mm. So you have to make a conscious plan, a conscious effort to get up and move. So what I do is, when I have a phone call to make that I know is going to take a little while, mm-hmm. 4 or 5 minutes, 10 minutes, half an hour, I do it on my cell phone and I walk while I'm talking.
That's a great idea. Right.
The other thing is people can set an alarm on their computer to beep every 15 minutes. You mm-hmm. just hear beep. And so this is an important thing to do at that point, is to look at the work you're doing and say, okay, what can I finish in the next minute? Or can I get up and move now? And it's always good to finish if you can, because if you're working on a project, you can always break it down into 10 steps and finish the step you're on, step 4, and get up and pronounce that it's done. Pronounce it out loud, done, finished. And then move around for a little while and come back. You'll be way more productive. You'll get a lot more work done if you take these breaks. And if you pronounce that you're done, you'll get a lot more accomplished, because the human mind likes to have definitive accomplishments. Mm-hmm. And so if you consciously pronounce it, you're going to feel different. Your brain chemistry is going to be different. And when you get back to work, you'll be much more alert, much more productive. And as time goes by throughout the day, you'll be able to look back and say, I got a lot more done today because I acknowledged when I was done with something and I got up and moved around a little bit.
Right. I think that was the benefit of the post-it note person, is, you know, we can put things that we need to do on these little post-it notes and then wad them up and throw them away. And there's that sense of satisfaction that comes when you've actually done that. So saying that you're done at step 4, your brain probably and your whole body is not as overwhelmed with, oh my God, I've got 12 of these to get through, because I've already said, okay, I'm done at this point. I can go do something else for a while. So yeah. It's not like the post-it note, but it's close. That's for sure.
It's also good to be able to let other people know that you finished something and that you learned something. Mm-hmm. Right? So even if it's just 5 seconds or 10 seconds, hey, I got done with this part and this is what I discovered.
Right.
The human brain goes into a high, high state of reward when we are sharing knowledge and accomplishments with someone else. And so you feel much, much happier to be able to share what you've just learned or what you know based on the work you're doing with somebody else. And this changes your neurotransmitters. You have more endorphins at this point, and you're going to have a better memory. You're going to be more creative, more intuitive if you share with people.
You know, I can't help but chuckle here because there's a lot of people listening that I'm sure maybe don't have somebody that they can share easily with. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe they're single, or maybe that person is, they're like ships passing in the night, you know, they work on different shifts. But we, most of us have either a dog or a cat. Mm-hmm. And I was chuckling because a lot of times I talk to my cat. And it's like, okay, I've accomplished this. Let's go, you know, feed you. But I'm having that little conversation, you know, with Cheyenne. So that's cute. What about laughter? Does that help with lowering blood pressure? Because I've read that it does. And, you know, keeping a sense of humor, maybe watching shows or a movie that causes us to laugh. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it's because of the endorphins in part. But how does laughter work to reduce blood pressure?
Well, when you're in a state of joy, in a state of happiness, it's the opposite of a state of stress.
Right.
So it's the stress that's actually contributing to the high blood pressure. And you have a situation where most Americans are in a state of stress 95% of the time.
Wow. That's
the average.
Wow.
So some people, they're in a state of stress 99%. Some people, not so much, but the average is 95. So being able to focus on joy and fun and gratitude and compassion is a very good strategy for counteracting this state where you think you're always under stress. So you have a part of your brain called the amygdala, which is responsible for this communication as to whether or not everything is okay. So if everything's okay, your natural state is joyful and happy, and therefore things seem different. So the same exact event could happen when someone's in a happy mood and you will laugh at it. But if you're in a very stressed mood and the same thing happens, you're not going to laugh.
Right.
Okay? And so what your goal is to in order to really improve, is you want to change the vibration of the cells in your amygdala so that it's sending the signal that everything is okay at a higher percentage of time. So as you participate in exercises to do it, and you can track that with an inner balance device, you can then begin to raise that 5% to 10%, 20%, 30%. And the people that are really successful at it get to the point where they're happy almost all the time. And those people are likely not going to have high blood pressure unless they really overindulge in one of the other vice, or if you have kidney disease or something like that. But managing your stress is probably 50% of managing blood pressure, because you can eat all the best food in the world and you can exercise. But if you're under stress and your body's constantly flooded with cortisol, you're still going to be sick. And high blood pressure is one of the things that stress is going to cause. So when we talked earlier about the emotional freedom technique and the ultimate mind calming exercise, that's not only for falling asleep. Learning how to do EFT, you can have a dramatic effect on your amygdala and what you believe to be stressful. And so, for example, if someone was constantly being triggered into a state of stress by their child because he doesn't clean up his room. Okay. So what you really want to be able to do is have a calm dialogue with your child from a state of kindness and creativity to help change their behavior, as opposed to you being stressed about it. Because you being stressed will make your child feel stressed, and it's very unlikely you'll do anything except butt heads in that type of position. Mm-hmm. Right? Mm-hmm. And so tapping, or the emotional freedom technique, is very effective in changing what you believe about this situation. So if you, for example, have the belief that the fact that my child won't clean his room is awful, and it means that he's irresponsible or whatever, and I just hate it. This is awful, and everything is not okay. Well, what you've just done to yourself is flood your body with cortisol. On the other hand, if you were to tap on the tips of your fingers and repeat a phrase that was said something like, even though up until now I thought I had to be stressed out because my son won't clean his room, I completely love and accept myself, and I'm so grateful now that I realize it's just a room, I love my son, and I'm at complete peace with this, and I'm going to create a very nice solution for both of us. Okay? And so by tapping on your fingertips while you repeat this type of replacement strategy, right? You're going to dislodge the belief that you had that this was an awful situation, and you're going to install the belief that you're feeling peaceful about it, and you're going to come up with a common way to get to take care of it, right? Mm-hmm. And so at that point, the other technique you can use that goes with it is called nonviolent communication. So NVC is a situation where you use a four-part technique that is, the acronym is OFNR, O-F-N-R. And OFNR means first you're going to observe the situation without any judgment or preconceived notion.
All right. So they would, if I were going to do this as a play-by-play, so the parent stands in the doorway of the room,
mm-hmm,
and observes.
Just observes with no judgment.
Okay.
This is what it is.
Okay.
Okay. And then the F in the OFNR is for feelings. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you get to identify with any feeling you have, but much more importantly, what's the feeling of your son? And you sit quietly next to him on the bed. You say, listen, you know, I'm feeling like it might be time for you to clean your room. How do you feel about being in a room like this with your stuff scattered all over the place? Okay. And make no judgments about it. Just listen to what you hear and repeat it back. And don't paraphrase.
So let me pretend to be the son for a minute. So he looks around and he goes, well, I like the way it is because I know where everything is.
Mm-hmm. And that's fine. And then you say, well, how do you feel about it?
I feel happy because I like the way my room looks.
Okay. So I just want to make sure I've got this straight. You feel happy about this because you like the way that the room looks. Okay. And so the next thing that you want to do is go to the need that the son has that's having him make his room messy, right?
Okay.
And so you have to hallucinate. You have to guess, right? You have
okay.
to say, so I am guessing that this room in this condition is meeting your need for ease and relaxation. Because, you know, it means that you don't have to get up and fold things up and put them away in the drawers and all the like. Right? Is that fair to say?
Yeah, I'm going to respond like I was the little boy. But, I don't like to take the time to put everything away.
Mm-hmm. So it gives you a need for ease and relaxation.
Pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. That's great. So then it's okay now at this point to express your own need, which is, you know, I have a need for orderliness. That's just the way I am.
Uh-huh.
So orderliness is an important thing that makes me feel happy when everything's very orderly in the house. And it meets some other needs for me too, when things are put away, because sometimes guests come over and I'd love to be able to show them all the cool things that you have in your room, but I hesitate to do that because it doesn't meet my need for making a good impression on our guests. So I just never bring them to your room. But what I would like to do is have an agreement that we can each make a request of each other to see if we can somehow meet somewhere in the middle. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Now, at this point, it has to be a doable request, meaning you can't make requests that are unreasonable, and you can't tolerate requests that are unreasonable. You have to have something very specific and easy to do. Yeah. And so this works incredibly well with relationships. It works really, really well at work, because very rarely do people consider what the other person is feeling. Mm-hmm. They're just listening to what they're saying or looking at what they're doing, and they're judging it, right? Instead of suspending judgment and saying, I wonder how that person feels right now, and what is it that they need, and is it something that I could encourage them to make a request that's doable of me, that I could give to them, that meets their need, that will help change how they feel. And that changes the whole way people relate to each other. Mm-hmm. And when you can come to agreement to do that in your household, and that's the way you default to communication, and also at work, then you are having a positive effect on your blood pressure. Mm-hmm. Because you're not judging. And when you're in judgment, you're not in gratitude.
Right.
And you're not in compassion. So when you're in compassion and when you're in gratitude for the person in front of you, okay, as the first primary thing, oh, thank you so much for coming into my office. You know, I'm so grateful that you work here with us. Mm-hmm. And, you know, how do you feel today? And did you need something?
Right.
And so now all of a sudden, you are in a place where the signal that's getting sent from your prefrontal cortex to your heart muscle, mm-hmm, is totally different than if you're in a state of agitation or confrontation.
Right.
And so, and the signal being sent to your heart muscle determines how your heart is going to beat. How regular is it going to be, or how irregular, or how coherent, right? And that's very important, because the quality of your heartbeat, it is sending a signal from the 40,000 neurons in your heart directly to your amygdala, which is deciding if everything's okay. Mm-hmm. So it's taking a signal from your heart to know if everything's okay. And then it's signaling your frontal cortex, hey, things aren't okay, which then signals your heart. And it's a vicious cycle.
That would be.
So you break it in a way that you can break it, which is using your consciousness, because you can't just all of a sudden have your heart change it. You have to change your heart with your thoughts.
Right.
And so the thoughts are compassion, gratitude, focusing on feelings and needs, and resolving things at a higher level than confrontation. And why is this so important? Because blood pressure is such a big problem, mm-hmm, that you have to look at every angle to reduce it. And half of the problem is stress.
Right. And that's the interpretation. We're giving something.
Right. Yeah. And quite often we're awfulizing something, mm-hmm, that just is. Mm-hmm. So you have to get out of the habit of awfulizing and into the habit of being grateful and focusing on feelings and needs. And then as you make that shift, your heart starts beating differently. Mm-hmm. It has more variability, which is good. And the signal that's being sent to your amygdala is more coherent, and your amygdala, you literally will change the vibration of the cells in your amygdala to a calm vibration that's sending a signal via your hippocampus to your frontal cortex that says, hey, everything's okay down
here. Life is good.
Yeah, everything's okay. Mm-hmm. So there's no need to be sending a signal to the heart that we're under stress, mm-hmm, right? Because we don't need more cortisol right now. There's nothing's attacking us.
Right.
There's nothing wrong. And so we get to keep our hormones at this balance level, mm-hmm, right? And so not only does this help with your blood pressure, but it can help prevent autoimmune disease, which we'll talk about soon.
Okay.
Yep.
Interesting. Now, you mentioned, I know the Inner Balance is a device that I own. Mm-hmm. You own it. Mm-hmm. And it comes from the HeartMath Institute. They can order one through the Boomer website. Mm-hmm. I think it links right to the HeartMath Institute,
yeah,
if you order,
mm-hmm,
it that way. But, you know, as we're talking about emotional freedom technique, we're talking at times about mindfulness, we're talking about meditation. But this Inner Balance, I love, because it is a visual that shows you that, mm-hmm, you're doing it correctly or not.
Yeah, it's an app on your cell phone.
It is.
So the Inner Balance device used to be housed in a suitcase.
Oh.
And it had tabs that were sticky that you had to actually put onto your skin.
Oh,
on
like
your
an EEG.
Yeah. And they cost over $1,200.
Wow.
And now they've miniaturized it. So it's a clip that goes on your ear with a little transponder that communicates to your cell phone. And when you upload the app, there's a mandala that when you turn it on begins to shrink and then expand, and you can control how fast or slow it shrinks and expands.
Mm-hmm.
And then you sync your breath to it. So when you sync your breath to it, it begins to calm you down. And then you imagine that you're breathing into your heart muscle, and that when you're taking your in-breath, your heart's expanding, and on your out-breath, it's contracting. And now you sync that up and then turn your attention to your conscious mind, where you're going to begin to focus on things you're grateful for, things you're compassionate towards and joyful about,
mm-hmm.
that type of thing,
mm-hmm.
and even laugh.
Right?
So then what begins to happen is you see these lights that begin to fill in these squares around the mandala every 5 seconds. And it's a different color based on the coherence between the systems.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're shooting to get it to be color green. And as it begins to fill in green, now you know you're succeeding. Okay? And if it's still red or blue, you have to focus your attention more on gratitude, right? And don't let your mind drift away, and focus more on your breath.
Mm-hmm.
And as you practice, you get really good at it. And you can go from level 1 to 2 to 3 to 4. And it makes a very definitive physical difference in the internal workings of your mind and your heart and your whole hormone system.
Hmm. So I definitely, just from my own experience and probably from yours, anybody who is maybe struggling with a fair amount of stress in their life, something like this Inner Balance would be a visual reminder of how to calm down. Because once you've mm-hmm. mastered how to get into that green coherence, then you know what that feels like. And by recognizing as you're moving into stress, whoops, wait a minute, I'm not doing my body any good here. I need to take a deep breath and go back to focusing on how it feels to be in heart coherence.
Yeah, right.
Okay. So,
focus on to gratitude.
Gratitude.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Wow. All right, I want to talk a little bit about, while we have a few minutes left, you've heard of the DASH diet. I know they use that a lot for getting people into a healthier, lowering their blood pressure and eating in a healthier way. Are you familiar with, you're familiar with that, the DASH?
No. Oh. Tell me what it is, and I probably know it by something else.
By something else. Okay. So it's basically looking at ways to reduce salt intake, you know, like using herbs instead of salt. But I thought maybe we could just talk a little bit about ways, certain kinds of foods that you can bring into your diet that will improve overall health if you've been diagnosed with high blood pressure. And I know some of the products that Boomers has, you know, really helps that a bunch. The Gladiator Barley is one in particular, and we've talked about it before, but maybe some other things, like a lot of people don't know that walnuts, as a nut, or almonds, either one of those, actually brings blood pressure down.
Yeah, not only that, hawthorn berries, really good. And you can get hawthorn berry extract in a pill form.
Oh, okay.
Hawthorn berry is in our Boomer Boost product.
Mm-hmm.
Extract of garlic, allicin,
mm-hmm.
the active ingredient, is also really, really good for your heart. And you also, as we mentioned before, phosphatidylcholine, which mm-hmm. is...
And that's in the Boost, right?
Yeah, that's in Boomer Boost. But you can get choline from your diet as well. And you have to always be careful when you're looking at what foods are healthy and what aren't, because the way you cook them is equally important. So, for example, people will say, oh, well, I make a smoothie every morning and I have raw kale and spinach, et cetera, et cetera, right? Well, the problem with that is that there's an acid in those leafy greens that can damage your thyroid if you eat too many of them raw. Mm-hmm. And so people that are having a raw smoothie every morning are damaging their thyroid.
Right.
Okay. And so
Not to mention that they're very hard to digest sometimes.
Right. And so you want to make sure that with those foods that you steam them first before you juice them, because it eliminates a lot of that acid. Mm-hmm. And then also the whole concept of cooking your meat properly is the same thing.
Right. And that's going to blow a lot of people's minds. I know.
Yeah. And so those are two of the cooking issues. One, you want to actually cook it more. Mm-hmm. And the other, you want to cook it on a lower temperature. But avocados are a really great food. Avocados are high in protein and good fats.
And good fat.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And although some pesticides do leak in through the avocado skin, if they're sprayed and not organic, then that can cause a small problem. But if you can get organic avocados, it's obviously better. Mm-hmm. And you can make juice out of avocados. Okay.
You know, I've actually ordered, I think, an organic smoothie bar. Mm-hmm. And if I recall correctly, it had avocados in it. Had a very nutty flavor. So I don't know whether they put in some nuts or put in some peanut butter with it, but it was really, really good.
Yeah. So that's the other things you have to watch out for is cashews and peanuts. Mm. Okay. For a different reason. Cashews, peanuts, and beans have a lot of lectins. Mm-hmm. And lectins are these little proteins that are like hot coals, and they'll create leaky gut. They'll bore holes in your large intestine, which then causes a problem because then bacteria can leak out, migrate in your abdominal fluid, infect your liver, and things like that, create fatty liver.
Staying healthy is not an easy job.
No, it requires you have to know a lot.
You have to know a lot.
Yeah, in order to stay healthy.
Right.
And you have to have willpower to to not eat the things that you really like that you know are bad for you. So to not eat the peanuts and the cashews, but instead eat the walnuts, even though you might not like them as much.
I love walnuts, though, so I'm lucky in that respect. I know that Boomers has a product that I use every night because your body repairs itself at night. And it's your muscadine resveratrol with quercetin.
Yeah.
And I know that, you know, drinking red wine also provides resveratrol. But you have to drink a lot of red wine in order to get as much of that as you need in your system. And so with two capsules, you know, it does help to keep the arteries elastic. It repairs free radical damage. But maybe explain a little bit about how that actually helps maybe to reduce high blood pressure.
Well, the main way that it does is when you have resveratrol and quercetin together, and in this case, one is in the seed of the grape and the other is in the skin. And so that's why you want a formulation that has quercetin and resveratrol. When they come together, they stimulate cells to die off when it's the right time. Mm-hmm. So a big part of aging and illness is that as people get older, cells are supposed to die at a certain time, depending what type of cell it is, a skin cell, your liver cell, etc. And there's a signal that tells it when it's time to die. But as you get older, the signal malfunctions. And now you end up with a cell that has lived way longer than it's supposed to. It has significant damage to it. And it's emitting inflammatory cytokines, which is damaging all the cells in the surrounding area. And quercetin with resveratrol mimics the signal that used to be strong when you were young and goes throughout your body, finds the cells that are too old to be functioning properly and signals them to die.
So it kind of kicks them out.
Yeah, kicks them out and allows them to be replaced from stem cells, right? Which the adult stem cells are coming out from your bone marrow, from the bridge of your nose and your hip bones and other bones. And then those stem cells are migrating to all the parts of your body and morphing into brand new liver cells, eye cells, skin cells, etc. But it's a very good cleansing technique to have resveratrol and quercetin. Now you've eliminated all of the cells that have dysfunction, including the cells in your arteries and in your heart that's making your circulatory system less effective and thus can lead to high blood pressure.
You know, one of the things that I recall is people that have, I would say, circulation issues, maybe more than high blood pressure. It could even be low blood pressure. But that their hands and their feet are often cold. And so I guess that's another symptom of it. But it sounds like maybe the resveratrol would help assist with that. So there's more circulation into the hands and feet.
Yeah, it'll help. And the other thing that's really helpful is to address your circulation in total. Mm-hmm. And addressing your circulation in total involves the phosphatidylcholine we mm-hmm. talked about before, which will make your cells more elastic, mm-hmm. cleansing out all the dead cells, but not only that, cleansing the toxins out that are in your cells mm-hmm. and in your bloodstream. Mm-hmm. So not only does it cause peripheral issues, right, but it can also cause breast cancer. So mm-hmm. breast cancer quite often is caused by plastic that's in your body that binds to the estrogen receptors in the fatty tissue in your breast.
So how does the plastic get there?
The plastic is from the environment, and it circulates in your body. And
so it's in the air.
Right.
Okay.
Well, it can be in the air. It can be from drinking
something,
eating,
in a plastic
eating
bottle.
Something you yeah. put in the microwave
right.
in a plastic container, that kind
yeah,
of
right.
thing.
Right. Okay.
So then the estrogen receptor is absorbing that plastic. And the plastic actually gets in the cell and causes damage. Okay? But now, if you use lignins, for example, flaxseed lignins, they're coming from the wax on the outside of the flaxseed, the receptor, the estrogen receptor, prefers that to the plastic, and so it binds, gets into the cell, and in this case, it's good for you because there's antioxidants in there and nutrients and really good fatty acids and the like, which end up coming in through those receptors.
Yeah. Oh.
So, but circulation also, you have to have enough nitric oxide to mm-hmm. create good circulation. And you need to know exactly how nitric oxide is processed from your mouth to your stomach and into the endothelium, the lining inside of your arteries. Mm-hmm. And you also need to be aware that about 50% of circulation comes from the core of the earth and the electromagnetic pulses mm-hmm. that are being put off by the core of the earth are dilating your capillaries. And as you age, you respond to those pulses less. Mm-hmm. And so what we use is a pulsed electromagnetic field mat that mm-hmm. you can lie on your bed.
That's the one you lay on in the morning for 8 minutes
yes.
and then in the evening.
That's right. And mm-hmm. then you can sleep on it as mm-hmm. well. But what it does is it mimics the pulse of the core of the earth that dilates your capillaries and another one that dilates your arterioles and can restore your circulation back to a much younger age. And between that and using a product like Boomer Boost that is designed to help your circulation, you can really be sure that almost no matter how long you live, you're never going to have a circulation problem.
So in many, many respects, what I hear happening, and I do love using the products myself, is it's like reverse aging that's going on. Mm-hmm. That, you know, we doctors out there, some of them do understand nutrition. Most of them probably do not. It's certainly easier to prescribe a medication. And then I would say most people probably prefer taking a medication that they know, okay, this is going to help with my blood pressure, rather than having to stop some of their vices, like maybe smoking or drinking too much or not exercising or taking a more active role in what they put in their mouth, not just stopping by and for the Big Mac. But if you're really wanting to remain healthy and have a long life and enjoy life, you know, it might mean taking a little bit of time to understand what your body really does need. And mm-hmm. I remember years ago when I was first out of graduate school, one of the stories that I heard, and I thought how interesting it was, I've never forgotten it, is they did this study with 2 and 3 year olds. And, you know, they have low picnic tables in like daycare centers. And so they put everything on one table that would be like a carb. and everything on another table that was a protein, everything on another table that was a dairy. But they let these little 2 and 3 year olds choose, and then they just took notes. And children at that age knew what their body needed more than adults did. And so they would go and they would eat from the table primarily that they needed that day. So it was just very fascinating to think that a child was listening to its body rather than on rote just going and ordering something or eating a sandwich, that they were actually checking in and the body was saying, I need a little more dairy for my bones today, eat a lot of dairy. Or I need a little more fiber, so eat a lot of fruit and vegetables. But the kids were doing it.
Yeah.
So it was quite fascinating. Well, I thank you very much for being on the show again. We always have fun. The hour goes very, very fast. I'm not sure what we're talking about next, but I'm sure it will be fascinating, whatever it is.
Yeah. We could talk about autoimmune disease if you want.
That would be great, because a lot of people do have that as an issue. Maybe explain in 10 words or less, what is an autoimmune disease for people to know?
Sure. Well, an autoimmune disease is when the immune system of your body misidentifies part of your body that is actually vital and valuable as some type of an allergen or a toxin, and it attacks it and says, hey, we have to get rid of this. It attacks it as if it was a virus. And so in the case of like multiple sclerosis, it's attacking the myelin sheath on your nerves,
which is essential.
Yeah. Right. And in the case of arthritis, attacking your joints. Right. And so what we can talk about next time is what's causing it, what the problems are that you're going to have if you get an autoimmune disease, and then what can you do about it? What are the new things that are now available you can use to do something about it?
Oh, I'm sure that will be of interest to a lot of people that are out there. So for everybody who has listened to the show today, if you know somebody who needs to hear this message and they weren't able to listen to it live, please go to my website, SynergyConnectionRadio.com. The show will be up later this afternoon. And you can go to, there's a link right on the landing page that will take you to the Boomer website. You can read about all of the different products. A lot of them we've talked about today. But you can order directly from that link. If you do decide to order, put in the promo code Lucy, L-U-C-Y, and you will get $5 off of your order. The products are amazing. It will change your life. Again, thank you for joining us at Synergy Connection Radio, and make this your best day.
Thank you for listening to the Synergy Connection Show. If you wanted to know more about the products Bob spoke about on today's show, please go to SynergyConnectionRadio.com. That's S-Y-N-E-R-G-Y ConnectionRadio.com. Click on the Boomers Vibrate a New banner on the homepage. Use promo code Lucy, that's L-U-C-Y, at checkout to save $5 on your order. Don't forget to tune in next week to the Synergy Connection Show.